The whole point of Jesus coming is to communicate a message to us. This past Friday, I came to the church building to do some work to get ready for this morning. And I noticed that the entryway of the church was covered in glass. Someone had broken a wine bottle along the front of our entrance, and I can assure you it was targeted. It was only on the asphalt entrance to the church building, intending to destroy whatever tires they possibly could. I have a message for the person who did this. I have a message for them. And it's found in the first chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 1, beginning at the 26th verse. In the sixth month, and this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said to her, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Now, if an angel came up to you and said that, would you be comforted? Or would you have a hard time? Well, what does the Bible say? And she was deeply troubled by this statement. Can you relate? Wondering what kind of greeting this could be. It almost feels like, now what did I do? I got to go to the principal's office? What's going on? Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "Wait a minute. How can this be, since I've not been intimate with a man?" The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative, Elizabeth, for even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then among the most courageous words in the Bible, "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left her. She's been given a message, and she's been given a sign. She's been given a message and been given a sign. And when you're given a sign, go look. So, in those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "You are the most blessed of women, and your child is blessed. But how can this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. She who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you fulfill every word, and you have a purpose in everything you do. That one purpose is to return us to you, to return this world to you. It's rightfully yours. We are all rightfully yours. But not everyone on earth knows that. Not everyone on earth has acknowledged that. And everything you're doing in Jesus is to bring us all to you. Draw us to yourself then, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, our son David lived near a railroad track. And you know how you notice it when a train comes by, don't you? But not when you live near a railroad track. You go about your business. Train. Every couple hours. It's no big deal. And the Christmas story can be like that, can't it? The thing you hear so often, got it memorized. Ken came up to me earlier and says, what was it that Linus said during Charlie Brown's Christmas Carol, or Charlie Brown's Christmas story? The story, the Gospel in Luke. Not this particular part of it, but he was simply quoting Luke. So we could quote it from memory, couldn't we? We know the story that we miss so much. I tried to find some of the things I've missed. And one of the things I noticed in the Christmas story, first and foremost, is that God embraces everyone, both rich and poor, both the unnoticed and the celebrity. God sends an angel to an unremarkable village. Do you know how unremarkable this village is? Does anyone know the name of the great, perhaps the only Jewish historian who covered this time period? Josephus. And Josephus makes no mention of Nazareth whatsoever. It's not there. And for this reason, skeptics for many years said, see, the story of Jesus is all hogwash. That village never existed. And then, in 2009, a first century house was found in the modern city of Nazareth. And the skeptics said, well, that doesn't prove there was a Nazareth. You could punch someone in the face, but you can't make them move, can you? But here is a village so unremarkable that it gets virtually no mention, no mention whatsoever in the history books, and now we know it's there. But what else did Jesus do? As unremarkable as his origins, he drew masses. He drew thousands at one time. Jesus drew to himself both king and slave. He spoke before both, didn't he? God embraces all. And he wants all people back to him. It's very typical in the Bible to speak of the rich being cast down and the poor being raised up. Most of us can really relate to that. Not too many of us are well-to-do and rolling in the dough. So that idea sounds really good. We're waiting for it, aren't we? But the beauty of it is God doesn't favor the poor or favor the rich. He embraces both and loves both. God embraces everyone. And a second thing I noticed here, which is most interesting to me, is that God is not terribly concerned with what people think. Really, he's not terribly concerned. How did he come into the world? He used an unwed mother. What do you suppose people said about Mary? What do you suppose they said about Joseph? People said some horrible, horrible things about the most courageous, godly couple we see in Scripture. Certainly one of them. God doesn't really care. God is not exactly out taking surveys to see who likes him. The popularity contest is over, and he's not interested. You know, when you follow Jesus, people are going to say horrible things about you. People are going to mistreat you. You're in good company, aren't you? Hey, Mary got tossed out too, right? Jesus himself was deemed illegitimate, an illegitimate child. In John 8:41, He was debating with the Pharisees, and they said, well, we are not born of fornication. We know what they were saying, don't you? We all know that. Jesus went from that and eventually encountered the ultimate disgrace of crucifixion. Did he really care what people thought? He stood above what people thought. When you've got a clear conscience, you can take on anything anyone wants to say. The world is not out there to determine your value. God determines your value. And what does He think your value is? You're worth His Son. He wants you with Him. He wants His family back. Everything that God did in this story is one sacred effort to bring His family back. And this was His effort. Just going to read to you a couple of quick passages. Hebrews chapter 1. This is key. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, what's it referring to? It's referring to the Old Testament time, right? Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. God sent messengers, known as prophets, at different times and in different ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. Wow. God changed the plan. He'd been sending messengers, and now He came in the form of His Son to communicate to the world, I want you back. I want you back. You've fallen away from me. I want you back. 1 John, starting at the beginning. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed, what we have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life, that life was revealed and we have seen it, and we testify and declare to you that the eternal life was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard we declare to you. Why? So that you may have fellowship along with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Why did God send His Son? So that you could be with Him. That's what it was all about. It was, and our missions theme is so beautiful, it was one sacred effort, one last ditch effort, one final shot at bringing the world to Himself, sending the ultimate, sending His Son. God took every initiative. You look in verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Who took the initiative? God took the initiative. God stepped out and said, here's what I'm going to do. We Baptists are famous for it. God, we have this plan. Bless it. And God sits in the heavens and says, oh, really? Who's taking the initiative? When God does something, God makes the first move. And your response could be amen, or it could be duh. Of course when God does something, He makes the first move. Of course that's how He operates. What's astonishing is Elizabeth. Elizabeth says this marvelous thing, and I'm going to read to you from verse 44. At the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the child inside me, the baby leaped for joy inside me. Just a quick side note. The first one to proclaim Jesus is on earth was an unborn child. The first one was an unborn child. What do I think of unborn children? I think they're for real. I think they're real people. Reading on. Now get this. She who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled. Who takes the initiative? The Lord. The Lord takes the initiative in Mary. Elizabeth saw that the Lord took the initiative. Now I'm going to backtrack. Get your mind around this. She says, "Who am I? How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The mother of my Lord. Jesus was what? Maybe days, weeks in the womb. And she says, "That unborn child is my Lord." Who's the Lord when she says what will be fulfilled by the Lord, what is done? Who's the Lord? God. Who's her Lord? God. That few day, few week old zygote, fetus, embryo. That's my Lord. How did she know? Well, the Bible tells us she was filled with the Holy Spirit. She knew God had brought Elizabeth to her. God takes the initiative to get His family back to Him. So what does God say to rich people? "I want you with me." What does God say to poor people? "I want you with me." What does God say to the people in Hollywood? "I want you with me." What does God say to people in Bassett? "I want you with me." What does God say to world leaders? "I want you with me." What does God say to the homeless? "I want you with me." What does God say to the guy who broke a bottle in front of the church? "I want you with me. I don't want you to feel I'm against you. I don't want you to feel I'm out to beat you down. I don't want you to feel I'm ready to throw a lightning bolt at you. I'm ready to throw my love and my grace and my mercy at you. And love you. And silence every voice of this world that's put you down. Silence all the people who don't think well of you. Silence all the people who want to throw you out. And I want to take you in." What did God say to me? "I want you with me." And what's He saying to you? "I want you with me." The question is, does He have you with Him? If He does, isn't that a beautiful thing? And now let's join God in His sacred effort to tell this world, God's not down on you. God isn't here to put you down. He's here to bring you to Him. And He's here to fill you with more love, more joy, more grace than you've ever known. Last week, some of you weren't here, but last week I talked about a film called The Jesus Film. It's been seen by more people in the world than any movie ever. It's been translated into 1,200 languages, more languages than any movie ever. For some people in this world, it is the first movie they've ever heard in their heart language, because some of the languages are extremely obscure. It is the Gospel according to Luke. Straightforward. All the lines are from the Gospel according to Luke. I bought 30 of them. There are people out there who don't know the story. You know, I can't believe that. In the United States of America, there are people who do not know the story of Jesus. I've had them come here. They don't know the story of Jesus. Do you know someone, or are you someone, who does not really know the story of Jesus? Here's what I would like you to do. If you know someone, or if you are someone, you don't have to tell me which one. I don't want to embarrass anybody. We're not here to put you down. But if you are someone, or you know someone who needs to know the story of Jesus, take one. I only want one per family. We are limited, but take one. And if you take one, you are promising that before the end of the year, you will diligently find someone who doesn't know the story of Jesus, and you will give this to them, still wrapped in the plastic so they know it's new. This isn't for you unless you don't know the story. If you don't know the story, take it, keep it, and use it. So if you will take one for someone who doesn't know the story of Jesus, or if you don't know, you're welcome to do so. Share the story of Jesus. We have a story, and it's a story of God coming to get His people back.